This is Erica with your concert billboard update for Saturday, October 3rd. Tonight, Elton John at Madison Square Garden, Kenny Rankin at IMAC, and NRBQ at the Bottom Line. Sunday, October 4th, Ugly Kid Joe at Limelight and the Scofflaws at Wetlands. Monday, October 5th, Elton John at Madison Square Garden, Jethro Tull at the Beacon Theater, Echo and the Bunnymen at Trance, and King Missile at the Continental. Tuesday, October 6th, Inspiro Carpets at Limelight and Jethro Tull at the Beacon Theater. Wednesday, October 7th, Elton John at Madison Square Garden. Thursday, October 8th, the Robert Cray Band at the Beacon Theater, and Tori Amos with The Man Called E at Town Hall. Friday, October 9th, Faith No More and Helmet at Roseland. Tangerine Dream at the Beacon Theater. Kiss, Faster Pussycat, and Trickster at the Meadowlands Arena. Michelle Shock with the band at Carnegie Hall. Tori Amos with The Man Called E at Town Hall, and Elton John at Madison Square Garden. Saturday, October 10th, Alison Krauss in Union Station at IMAX. Elton John at Madison Square Garden. Faith No More at Roseland. Third World, Marsha Griffiths and Sugar Minot at DuPaul Theater. Sunday, October 11th, Kiss, Faster Pussycat, and Trickster at the National Coliseum. Alien Dreamer at CBGB and Saigon Kick and Wildside at Limelight. Tuesday, October 13th, Chicago at Westbury Music Fair and Program 2 at Limelight. Wednesday, October 14th, Graham Parker and the Small Clubs at Town Hall. Black Sabbath and Exodus at the Beacon Theater in Chicago at Westbury Music Fair. And Thursday, October 15th, Luna at the Marquee. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and at midnight. If you have any questions, call the station at 632-6901 and stay tuned to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
May not yet be connected. 751-0000. May not yet be connected. Please try your call again later.
Good evening. The second word I said was wrong. It's actually morning. I messed up. Usually I don't mess up until about the sixth or seventh word, but it's morning. Yes, good morning, everyone. It's 8 minutes after 12 midnight. Did I get that right at least? Good. Good evening. Oh, I did it again. Good morning. This is not going to be a good day or good night or good morning, whatever it is. Yeah. How you doing? That's nice and safe.
Hiya. You really want to know how I'm doing? Well, my feet hurt.
Well, you just did a show.
Yeah.
I'm just coming in to do a show, so I feel chipper and happy. And well, you know, the wind is at my back. The wind is in your face, so, you know, it's a bit of a change in your mood.
I was just saying that how you doing isn't even a safe question either.
They don't really care what you say how you doing, you know.
That's why it's not a safe question.
Yeah, I mean,
someone might answer.
Most of the things we say, we don't really care about the answer. Like, hey, what's up? It's new. What's up? You know, how you doing? What it is. You know, all those kind of things. And I guess that says something about us, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We don't really care.
Nope.
Which is fine as long as we admit it, you know. As long as we admit we don't care, I think it's just great. What do you think?
I think that's fine.
I don't care.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. What's that phallic symbol thing?
What is phallic symbol?
It's a dirty picture on the back.
It's the New York Times.
No.
Oh, you mean on this? On the CDs?
What is
someone
that?
Someone applying lipstick to her mouth.
Oh, okay, it looked phallic for me.
Oh,
my eyes aren't that good.
Lipstick has been around since before phallic things existed.
Really?
Of course.
My gosh. What is this? Walking on fire, walk. Oh, you got that Twin Peaks thing.
That's the Twin Peaks soundtrack, yeah. Would you like to hear a little bit of it?
No, I don't care.
Yeah, it's a little bit of it. It was a good film. I mean, it still is a good film, but it was a good
bucks.
Film.
Oh, my God.
What's $30?
Your CD, that's outrageous.
It didn't cost $30.
No.
Yeah. Who taught you to read? Our phone number is listed with information, so if you want to call information and pay 45 cents to find out what our phone number is, feel free. Now, actually, our phone number is also busy. 632-6901. Okay, there. I made it easy for you.
To get it busy.
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to even be nice here. I'm going to open up the other lines, but before I do that, they're not open yet, so don't try calling. Since one of the lines is the one you were going to give out later, I'm going to have to give you a different line to give out.
To this person?
Yes.
You're using that?
Yeah, I'm using that line. But if we use the other line that's under the table in the room next door, I can forward that into an unused, what we call non-DID line in here.
Oh, so yeah. I'll scribble it.
Well, I will.
All right.
But first, let's talk about the issue at hand.
What?
Well, let's talk about what's... well, gosh, I don't know. There's things happening. There's always things happening. We live in an active world. We live in a fun society.
Yeah, we kind of live in a reactive world, I think.
Ross Perot is running.
Oh, my.
He's running pretty fast, too, but what do you think of that?
Nothing much.
Yeah? I don't know. I kind of like the idea of somebody just coming out of nowhere. I mean, he didn't come out of nowhere, but, I mean, for all intents and purposes, he did bypass the entire conventional process. I mean that in two ways. And jumps into things a month before the election and is taken seriously. I mean, that isn't the way it usually works, is it? Three-man debates?
What about them libertarians? Where are they now?
I haven't heard from them in a while. I don't know where the libertarians are, but I have not heard from them in a while. Okay, those lines are now open. The 632-6500 now is open.
You going shopping tomorrow?
Am I going shopping?
Yeah.
I was planning a trip to the mall, actually.
Sunday shopper?
Now, it's interesting you should mention that, because I happen to have it on good authority, and I want all of our listeners to listen, because that's what you're good at. Listen to this, because this is something that we have found out about through various means of infiltration and other sordid activities. There's going to be a massive... Got your attention yet? There's going to be a massive...
Hemorrhage.
Well... Yeah, maybe, but there definitely is going to be a massive march and rally in front of the Smith Haven Mall tomorrow by the quote-unquote Right to Life people. Operation Rescue, all that kind of thing.
The Bornos.
They're going to be massing en masse by Route 25 in front of Smith Haven Mall. And I've been asked to share this information with people out there that might be thinking of coming and counter-demonstrating. I mean, you can come and demonstrate, counter-demonstrate, do whatever you want, but the important thing is that people know that this is going to happen. And I also think it would be a great way for USB listeners to come together and meet each other in a spirit of conviviality and all that kind of thing. So it starts, I believe it starts, excuse me, at 2 o'clock p.m. Of course, that's when the Operation Rescue people start at 2 p.m., I mean, the pro-choice people can start whatever time they want. They can start at 12 noon.
They should start before.
Yeah, you know, get the home court advantage and things like that. Maybe the, you know, the pro-life people will have to march out in the street. And I don't know if you ever tried marching out in Jericho Turnpike. It's not the easiest thing in the world to do. So, I don't know, we'll just have to see what happens. But I'd like to hear from people tonight, see if they're going to actually show up to this thing. And, yeah, I believe you're going to go tomorrow, Kevin.
Yep,
right?
Definitely going
to
be there.
I was going to be there and, you know, it's going to bring a barbecue along. And
now, the Operation Rescue, are they going to just lie down and stuff, or are they doing any civil disobedience? Or
I haven't heard anything like that. Last time they were there, and they were there once before at least, they all stood in front of Toys R Us. They held signs and, you know, dodged the motorists who tried to run them over. No, actually, it was quite peaceful, but rather disturbing to see all these people, because a lot of them are bussed in from out of town. And it always bothers me, you know, that when the bottle bill was being introduced on Long Island, I remember they bussed in all these truckers from Queens and Brooklyn to protest the fact that, I don't know why they were upset with the bottle bill. It seems that they'd be trucking things back and forth either way. But they brought them in and paid them good money to stand there and say how upset they were. You get the feeling that this is the same thing that's happening here. I mean, I don't sense spontaneous uprisings of the people of Center Reach and Selden to protect the unborn. But then again, who knows? Maybe I'm not reading the public mood all that well. But it's that public mood that we're speaking to tonight, and by all means, express yourself, because it does make a difference. There will be TV cameras and newspaper reporters and things like that, and if you want the front page of Newsday to read, assuming that nothing important, like, you know, Superman getting killed, takes its place, if you don't want the front page of Newsday to show how Long Island is anti-choice by all these people marching in front of Smith Haven Mall, well, then come down there and voice your opinion. Again, it's 2 o'clock tomorrow, Smith Haven Mall. How did you find out about this?
They have a wonderful organization that tried to contact you. The same people.
There's several organizations. There's animal rights people that are into this. There's sort of puzzled leftists and wondering what's going on with the rest of the world. And just general concerned citizens, a whole range of people. You don't have to be one particular group to subscribe to particular notions. That's always been the problem, you know. People think they have to agree on everything, and you don't. You don't have to be part of every single movement that there is in order to be part of one. So if you have views on this thing, come down and express them. This is America, right?
Oh, last I checked, yeah.
When did you last check?
About 1984, I think.
You gotta check again, but it's a fun place. It's worth the admission, I'd say.
It's a nice place to visit.
Yeah. So, what do you think? Three presidential debates and one non-presidential debate, one vice presidential debate.
Well, that should be a good one.
Now, the front page of the, you know, this music's going to be kind of, let's just pause a little bit. Oh, that's much better. Thank you. we have three debates. Now, the New York Times had this on the front page today. Bush and Clinton agree on debates and plan to ask Perot to participate, which I think will be fun. Now, the first debate is going to be on October 11th, which is a week from tomorrow, or actually a week from today, Sunday. Now, it's interesting because on each of these debates that they gave, they told you what the potential conflict is. The only reason they did this was for TV, the potential conflict on TV, as if that's the only thing that matters. So October 11th, next week, the potential conflict is a possible fifth game in the National League playoffs at 8:30 p.m. Now, the next debate takes place on Tuesday, the 13th, and that's the vice presidential debate. Yes, Quayle will be part of that. At least I assume he will be. And that's going to be fun. The potential conflict there is a possible sixth game of National League playoffs at 8:30 p.m.
Spelling count?
I don't know. There might be a spelling section of that. Now, okay, that's October 13th. The next debate is October 15th. Again, that's a presidential debate. And the potential conflict there is the seventh game of the American League playoffs set for 8:30 p.m. And the final debate, presidential debate, on October 19th, a Monday. Well, you know, the potential conflict there is Monday Night Football at 9 p.m. Now, what's funny here is they list all four of these debates and they tell you what the potential conflicts are and what the times of the potential conflicts are. Nowhere does it say what time the debate starts. Can you believe that? The front page of the Times tells you what time the playoffs start, but not what time the debate starts. So if anybody out there knows that, please tell us, because we'd love to know. The first debate, the one next Sunday, has a format of a panel of reporters, which is the one Bush didn't want. I don't think he wanted... I don't know. I forget. He was upset at a single moderator or a panel. I don't even know. The whole thing was so stupid. Anyway, there's a good mix here because on the 11th, the panel of reporters. For the vice presidential debate on the 13th, it's a single moderator. And this is a good one. On the 15th, the format is questions from the audience.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well, who's the audience, though?
I don't know. And I don't know how to get to be part of the audience. Let's see if we can find it out tonight, actually. Now, let's see, half single moderator, half panel of reporters is the format for October 19th. But yes, that's a very good question, and I'd like to check into that right now. The debate on the 15th, format is questions from the audience, and...
Where's it being filmed?
Taped. Done, I think is a better word.
Was it occurring?
I am attempting to find that out even as I speak. Why don't you fill the space while I scramble here to find... where this is going to...
Well, I remember way back when I used to... I'm sorry, I'm not a good
filler. Try to do a better job than that.
All right. Do you think that the possible reason...
I think
reason...
it's in East Lansing, Michigan.
Lansing?
Lansing.
Lansing.
I think it's... Yeah, I think
Lansing.
It's in there.
Do you think the reason why they asked Perot to the debates was just so they have, like, a
The question is
a
who's
dumper?
Organizing them. Well, maybe. I don't think they're gonna both pick on him, but Perot can only hurt Clinton, I see. Because all the people that were going to vote for Perot certainly aren't going to vote for Bush because they want Bush out of there. So they'll vote for whoever will get Bush out of there, which is Clinton. And now that Clinton is... Perot is running. Clinton might lose some people. But Bush, I don't think, stands to lose too much. I don't know who's organizing this debate here. It says here it's organized by the Commission on Presidential Debates. That doesn't tell me all that much, because I've never really heard about them before. So that's the update there. All right, we're going to take a look at the news, and then we're going to go to the phones. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to a party.
Okay, you go to a party, and make sure you tell everybody about the rally. It's with him.
Give me that number.
Oh, yes. I have to write down a number for Kevin now.
I'll tell everyone about the rally tomorrow, 2 to 4, Smith Haven Mall.
Yes.
And even if she's not there, you want me to call up anyway? And
sure, you can do that. Now, in order to go to the right rally, because there might be another one somewhere on the mall premises, this is the rally facing Route 25, Jericho Turnpike, Middle Country Road, or Queens Boulevard, depending on where you are. Okay?
Mm-hmm. In between, like... the mall and the Price Club, I believe, right?
That was a station malfunction. Is there a problem?
No, could be.
Am I going to have to walk over there and do something to that machine?
Yourself, probably. You lazy boy.
I hate it when things break down here.
Don't you?
Yeah, I really do. Anyway, that's what's going on here.
Carrot
our numbers
chip?
Again, what?
Carrot chip.
What are these?
Carrot chips.
They're made out of carrots?
Yeah.
I don't know about this.
I do. They're made out of carrots. It says so on the bag.
They don't look unhealthy at all.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you're the unhealthy Twinkies and...
Oh, this is disgusting. 30 milligrams of sodium? 30?
Is that a lot?
Well, let's put it this way. On a frozen dinner, you get something like 2,000.
Oh, so you want salt. Is that what you're saying?
Well, this is supposed to be a salty snack. Right?
No, no.
Well, what's... Something that sounds like this should be a salty snack, I think. I'll try one. I don't know. It's too healthy. I just don't feel comfortable with it. All right, we're going to take a quick look at the news here. Yeah. Okay, I've taken a quick look at the news, and now I'm going to read part of the news, not all of it, because it's not all bad news, and we don't want to read any good news here. All right, President Bush says he's looking forward to the first presidential debate a week from Sunday in St. Louis and subsequent encounters in Richmond, Virginia and East Lansing, Michigan. Ah, that tells us right there where they are. Okay, the president's on a campaign trip through Florida at a stop in Orlando. Bush said, even though he's no great debater, he does know how to tell the truth. And he says that could make a difference. Well, he's got a week to learn. Bush says he's especially pleased that in the three debates with Bill Clinton and Ross Perot, ideas can be compared side by side without what he called a media filter. Earlier, in Fort Lauderdale, the president ridiculed Clinton's experimentation with marijuana as a young man and raised questions about the fitness of a commander-in-chief who'd seen no military service. Democratic presidential nominee Bill Clinton realizes the presidential debates are important, but he says he's already been through many during the primary season. When Clinton arrived in Washington, he was asked if the debates would help President Bush by giving him a forum in which to look presidential. Clinton's response, he's going to have to get cracking if he's going to get presidential in this race. Ooh, that's fighting words. Independent candidate Ross Perot is also to take part in the debates. Asked about that, Clinton said debates are a contest of ideas. And that he's glad to discuss his ideas with anybody. Clinton is in Washington where he met with Italian Americans. He told them that the Republican right demonstrates a lack of tolerance that runs counter to the American ideal. Well, what do you know? Somebody that's finally figured that out. Okay. An official for Ross Perot's campaign believes his candidate is ready, willing, and probably able to take part in the presidential debates. The executive director of Perot's United We Stand America organization told reporters in Dallas that he doesn't expect his candidate will need any coaching. Orson Swindle... What an unfortunate name. Orson Swindle describes Perot as very observant, studious, intelligent, adding he will be very well prepared. The Perot official says the format of the debates doesn't matter as much as discussing the issues. Swindle adds Perot is ready to be a player. Right. Okay, in one of the most watched U.S. Senate races, Pennsylvania Democrat Lynn Yeakel has debated Republican Senator Arlen Specter on television. No, the subject wasn't television. They did it on television. Yeakel accused Specter of inconsistency, but she didn't raise the issue that drove her into the race, Anita Hill. Remember her? Yeakel criticized Specter over Pennsylvania's stumbling economy and called him Senator Flip-Flop for allegedly changing his stance on issues. Specter disputed her charges and argued that his seniority brings extra benefits to Pennsylvania. Yeakel entered the race after Specter outraged many women with his prosecutorial questioning of Anita Hill, who accused Supreme Court nominee Clarence Thomas of sexual harassment, or harassment, depending on your opinions. However, she didn't raise the issue during the debate, saying afterward, "The issue is not Anita Hill, but Capitol Hill." That is a good soundbite. Congressional negotiators have come to terms on a tax bill that would raise $27 billion in collections and at the same time give back that amount in various tax breaks and benefits. Senator Lloyd Benson, remember him? Vice presidential candidate with Dukakis 4 years ago? Well, he'd rather you didn't remember that. But Senator Benson, head of the Senate Finance Committee, says he's pleased with the tentative agreement of the measure, which does not include two high income tax increases. Is it two high income tax increases or two high income tax increases? I'm not really sure. But it's tax increases of some sort, which were opposed by President Bush. Yes, Benson says he doesn't know. There had to be taxes on the rich then. Those are the only kind he opposes. Benson says he doesn't know whether the compromise is acceptable to the administration. The bill includes more than two dozen revenue-raising provisions, including limiting deductions for job-related moving expenses. The measure would also liberalize individual retirement accounts and provide incentives for job creation in blighted areas. I'm sorry if that story put you to sleep, but I guess once I got started, I just couldn't stop. Okay, well, this is interesting. You know what? We shot down a Turkish ship the other day for no apparent reason. The Navy says it's placing severe restrictions on the NATO Sea Sparrow missile system while investigators search for the cause of a firing accident that killed five Turkish sailors. The statement says, the way they phrase that, you know, we shot them. We shot a missile at them and it exploded on their ship and killed the captain and four of the people. It's not like they died in an accident that occurred on their own ship. We fired upon them. Anyway, a statement says Admiral Frank Kelso, Chief of Naval Operations, has ordered a top-to-bottom review of the entire Sea Sparrow system. And at least one of the missiles hit a Turkish destroyer, killing five people, including the commanding officer. Authorities in Tampa Bay, Florida, say four people were killed when tornadoes roared through mobile home parks. Why do they always do that? It's incredible. Tornadoes are drawn to mobile homes. And that took place in Pinellas Park and Largo. Dozens of homes were smashed into splinters. Splinters isn't right because they're not made out of wood, are they? I don't think mobile homes are made out of wood, and you don't get splinters out of aluminum or whatever they're made out of. Well, regardless, dozens of homes were smashed into something. One survivor says she can't believe her family is okay following the hit on their home, which put everything that was in the living room in the kitchen, and put everything that was in the kitchen in the living room. Nothing like a tornado with a sense of humor. A two-day storm with winds gusting to 90 miles an hour is also blamed for sinking a freighter. All 15 crew members were rescued after the 255-foot Holstein went down late Friday in the Gulf of Mexico. And here we go, finally. The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross is using strong language to condemn what he says are continuing Serbian atrocities in Bosnia. In Geneva, Cornelia Samaraga spoke of the nightmarish intensification of ethnic cleansing. We've been talking about this now for months, and it's only getting worse. The leader of the traditionally impartial relief agency says he's convinced Bosnian Muslims are in the most danger of immediate death in areas controlled by Serb forces. He also criticized Western governments for not acting to curb human rights abuses. Civilians are said to be flocking to a detention center, hoping to be evacuated in the wake of the attacks. Actually, if you watched the news this week, you saw that Bush finally got off his ass on this one and said, we'll do what we can to keep people from being killed by fascists and all that kind of nasty stuff. I'm paraphrasing him. And Colin Powell says he doesn't want to get involved because it's not a situation where the U.S. can achieve a clear and decisive victory. So now we know what the motives were in the Gulf War. We knew the Iraqis weren't going to fight back. We knew we'd be able to kill thousands of people and get everything we wanted. But in the case of people really suffering, where we feel we might not be able to fix things that easily, we just stay out of it. Unless maybe there's oil involved, then we could be persuaded, I suppose. All right, officials in Sao Paulo, Brazil, say a gang fight among inmates in Latin America's largest prison has left 111 prisoners dead. It might clear up the overcrowding situation a bit, but it causes other problems as well. Most of the prisoners died at the hands of other inmates in Friday's melee, but no details on the causes of death are available. And the incident could pose yet another crisis for Brazil's new acting president, Itamar Franco. Oh, not another Franco. Oh, boy. I was sworn in on Friday, succeeding impeached President Fernando Collor de Mello. Officials suggested some inmates were planning to escape and trying to take advantage of city elections being held on Saturday. Speaking of which, an estimated 90 million Brazilians have turned out for Saturday's elections as calm prevailed following the temporary removal of the country's president from office. It's the second balloting in local elections since the impeachment of the president. And it's the second one since the impeached president was chosen in December of 1989 as the country's first democratically elected leader in nearly 30 years. He had campaigned on the anti-corruption platform. Unfortunately, he jumped off that platform. All adult citizens under the age of 70 are required to vote. The results of the vote are expected by Tuesday. Can you imagine if we were required to vote here? Well, you'd see some interesting results, seeing as how most people don't bother to vote at all. Well, you can call us, tell us who you're going to vote for, 632-6901, 632-6500, and we're going to go to the phones right after we hear this little musical interlude. 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. The program is Brain Damage. That's Julie Cruz from soundtrack to the Twin Peaks film, which is impossible to see anywhere on Long Island now. Maybe anywhere in the world. Wow. It's 12:39, and we're going to go to the phones as promised. Our numbers are 632-6901 and 632-6500. Good morning.
Yes, this is Mr. Quill.
Oh, you're number one.
Yep, as usual.
On the phone, you're number one. Uh-huh. I just want to stress those three words to clarify the statement.
Do you think that comment about Dan Quayle made about public and private school was worthy of a front page on Newsday?
What exactly did he say?
He said that he was joking around, and he said that he was at a disadvantage in debating with Al Gore because Al Gore attended a private school.
Right. Well, are you sure he was joking around?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
He admitted it, and so did all his aides, too. Said he was joking around, and the liberals in the media thought that he was absolutely serious, and they made a big deal out of it. I don't know what's going on with Newsday, but they're just becoming a tabloid news.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you there. Newsday is a piece of garbage, and, you know, I think there's a lot of things that Quayle says that deserve front page headlines over saying something like that. Yes, so I do have to agree. That's kind of trivial.
Do you also agree that Newsday is anti-Republican and very liberal?
Well, I'll say this. Newsday doesn't serve the needs of Long Islanders. And in that way, I guess they're anti-Republican as well as anti-Democrat. How's that?
I have a great way to improve this show. You know how the rule that you made up that you're not allowed to talk about other hosts of WUSB? Well, how about this? How about no more talking about me?
Well, you know, I think that problem will be solved in a few weeks, actually.
Why?
I don't think anybody's going to be talking about Dan Quayle in another month. I think you'll see a steady decline in that.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, it wastes time when people go on the air and they just talk about me. That's stupid.
Uh-huh.
Can you make that a rule?
Well, you're the first person violating it then.
All right, fine.
And I'll have to ask you to stop doing that.
Uh-huh. And, you know, everybody, there's this guy who calls up the show and he tells jokes and everybody thinks he's me and he's not because,
No, you're not funny at all.
No.
Right.
Some guy, Oriental guy, calls up the show and he tells jokes and everybody thinks it's me and it's not. And he called during August. I was gone for 3 weeks in August during the convention, all that. And I wasn't here. I would have called up and he called up then that it couldn't have been me. So everybody, I just want to tell everybody that's not me. And since Ross Perot has dropped out, has entered the race for president, this is greatly going to help George Bush. And I'll tell everybody right now, if George Bush and Dan Quayle do not win this election, then I will never call the show again. That's Mr. Quayle's promise.
Okay, so let's see then. Today is the second day of October, and that leaves the 9th. The 16th, the 23rd, the 30th, and then we have Election Day right after that.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute. I missed something.
Today's the 3rd, I think.
You're right. Today's the 3rd. Okay, so that means the 10th, the 17th, the 24th, and the 31st. Actually, today is the 4th, technically, but that means you have three more shows after this show, and then once Bush and Quayle lose, you won't be able to call anymore.
I'm fully confident that George Bush will win. In fact,
I'm sure you are. But when they lose, then you won't call anymore, is what you're saying.
No, he will not lose.
Right, but when he does, you won't.
If George Bush should lose by any chance, I will never call a show again. That's my promise.
Okay, I think I can say I can live with that.
I won't call up either and disguise my voice or as somebody else.
What will you do?
What? Probably just watch television or just listen to the show. But that's a promise, so I really am not going to worry about that because George Bush will win.
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, we'll just have to settle back and watch and see what happens. But I'll tell you this, right now Bush is behind in the polls. What do you think is going to change between now and Election Day?
The debates will greatly help George Bush, but the American people are going to learn from George Bush what's really going on in this country. 92% of the reporting on the economy is negative on the news. That was a survey done.
Well, you know why that is? It's because 92% of the news about the economy is negative. Have you looked around you? Have you seen all the unemployed, all the homeless, all the closed-up shops?
you know, unemployment has gone down for the third month in a row. Even with the hurricane in Florida and all these the strikes, unemployment is still going down. It will continue to go down.
Well, now, who does unemployment encompass? When they take these surveys, a lot of people have given up looking for work, and they don't get counted.
But the economy is growing now.
You know, among black Americans, the unemployment rate is as high as 50%.
50? 50,
yes.
It's because they're all on welfare, that's why. But, you know, 50% of all blacks occupy 50% of all prisoners are blacks, and yet they only occupy 12% of the population. That I don't understand.
Well, I think maybe if you studied it up a little bit, you'd come up with some answers.
All right. I had a top 10 list here, but I'm taking too much time, so I'll say vote Republican, Bush in 92, and Quayle. Sorry. Quayle for president in 1996, and Quayle for re-election in 2000. Goodbye.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, let's think, folks. You'll only be able to hear that phrase three more times, and then it will all be over. Yes, 12 long, dark years coming to an end, like the final stop on the A train. Oh, it's been a long ride. We've been through all kinds of neighborhoods, but it's time to get out and breathe some fresh air. Wow. Isn't that poetic? 632-6901, 632-6500. Good evening.
Hello.
How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good. Where's Matt this evening?
You know, I don't know. I don't know. He didn't call. He didn't write. I don't know where he is. He could be anywhere.
I hope he's all right.
Yeah, I guess I hope so, too.
You guess, huh?
Yeah, he's okay. All right, I'm sure. Knows how to take care of himself.
Yeah. So what's the deal with that protest at the mall tomorrow?
Well, what's going to happen is the Right to Life people, Operation Rescue and all, are going to be massing there at about 2 o'clock p.m. And I just figure people should know that, and people should be prepared to counter-demonstrate if they so feel desired to. If they feel like they agree with these people, then they should know that, too, I guess. But you know, I certainly don't, and I encourage other people to come down there and express their views, because if you don't express your views, you know, someone else will express them for you.
Yeah, I'm there, definitely.
Good, good. It'll be a good way for a lot of brain-damaged people to get together, I think.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So, what else has been happening?
Eh, not much. I'm just studying for my PSATs.
Oh, when is that?
When?
Yeah.
October 14th, I believe.
Really?
Somewhere around there, yeah.
I know somebody just took their LSATs.
What's that?
That's, to get into law school. If you think the PSATs, that's not even the SATs yet.
Yeah.
You know, you're just at the beginning of all this.
Yeah.
It just gets worse and worse. I don't mean to, you know, disillusion you or anything like that, but, man, you're on a long spiral down a hill.
Yeah, I know.
Just nothing but tests and tests and final papers and examinations and grillings and lectures, and it's horrible.
Tell me about it.
Then you get out and you have to find a job, and then, you know, you get old and you retire, and then you die, and that's it.
That's years away.
You'd be amazed how quickly it happens, you know?
Yeah.
And you think back to those carefree days of youth, and you wonder how you wasted them. Well, anyway, at least you're not wasting your moments right now talking to us on the radio.
Yeah.
Do you think Perot's going to make a difference?
Like, quarter of them will go back.
It's weird, though, because you know, I've been reading the papers, and to this day, I can't really put my finger on what Perot stands for, except he stands for change.
Can.
Yeah, but I mean, how can you get so far without really saying anything?
He has money, that's why.
I guess that's it, but it's kind of funny almost, because he really hasn't said anything, except that it's time for a change, and I think we all know that.
That's why he's so popular, because people are curious to find out what he's about.
Yeah, but I mean, we're not that simple minded that just the first person that comes along and says, yeah, it's time for a change, we're going to believe everything he says.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he bypassed the entire ridiculous procedure and there's a third candidate in law, but I'll be honest with you, the guy scares me.
Yeah.
And if he were in power, I don't know what would happen. I just have a feeling.
Exactly. You don't know what he could turn out to be, like a communist or a fascist or something like that.
And who's this vice presidential person? I don't even remember his name.
Yeah, I've never heard of the guy.
I never heard of him in my life. I don't know where he comes off.
Probably some other tycoon or something.
I thought you'd get somebody like Jesse Jackson or Mario Cuomo or Jimmy Carter or, I don't know, somebody that we've heard of before.
If he had Jackson for the VP, I'd have like a grain of respect for him.
Uh-huh. Yeah, imagine that. Or, you know, a woman vice presidential candidate. I mean, that would be risky.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he'd go for that, considering all that gay stuff he said.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, hopefully he'll be not spared anything, just like the other two candidates are not spared anything, and we can find out what he's really about.
Yeah. Hopefully he'll be on those debates.
Yeah, I think he will be. I think it's pretty much confirmed that he will be.
Yeah, it'll be pretty hard for him to evade the issues on that.
Yes, I agree.
So, that should be fun.
All right, well, listen, we'll see you down at the rally tomorrow.
Oh, are you going to be there?
I'm definitely going to make every attempt.
All right, cool. I'll see you then.
Right? Okay.
All right, bye.
If anybody has any coat hangers, seriously, I'm serious, the wire ones, they're needed. I've been asked to relay that information. Anybody needs any coat hangers? If you have to ask what for, never mind. But we need coat hangers down there. Yeah. Doesn't matter what color they are. They just have to be wire. Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's happening?
How you doing?
Finally back from your break, huh?
I've been back actually for a while. I just wasn't here last week because I was busy working on the magazine I work for. And now I'm back.
Last week?
Yeah.
There was a Friday night talk show called The Roach Man.
Okay.
And a caller called up and made a comment that you and Matt are gay. Do you have a comment to make on that?
Well, does that mean that we have, you know, Matt and myself are, I mean, I'm not quite sure what the connotation was.
He just called up and said that he thought you guys, you know, were like a couple.
Matt and myself?
Yeah.
Boy, that's incredible how you can't keep any, how rumors get spread around, is what I meant to say. That's an interesting thing. I'll have to,
Are you denying it?
Well, I can neither confirm nor deny anything of that nature. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Who are you going to vote for?
I have to call Matt. Let's see. Who am I voting for? Yes, good. Change the topic. Who am I voting for? Good question. Who's running? Wait, I know that. I know who's running. I'm the host. Perot is running, and the other guy, Bush, and Perot. No, he's already running. Clinton. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm not voting for Bush, and I know Perot scares me, so, you know, the lesser of the three evils.
Clinton's cool. I'm a real fan.
Yeah, you think he'll make a difference?
Yep.
Well, that's good. But do you think Perot is going to hurt Clinton now that he's re-entered the race?
Well, it depends. It depends if he can make a difference in what states, because if he can turn over the states that Clinton has already, then it hurts Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
But if not, then, you know, then I think he'll hurt Bush in more ways than...
Well, now, what do you think would have happened had Perot stayed in the whole way through?
Perot would have stayed in. Then I think he would have, like, had a drop-off and then would have increased, and he would have been bigger than he is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he might have actually won it, you know. And, I mean, we did a straw poll here at USB a couple of months ago where we called 7-Elevens in 50 states, and Perot squeaked out a victory.
Uh-huh, yeah, I heard about that.
That's
but,
a scientific
know,
poll.
Kids,
oh, no, that's a scientific poll. It's, you know, an error percentage of, I believe, 0.15 or something like that. Yes.
So, I don't know, man. Where's Matt today?
Well, as I said, he hasn't called me. He hasn't seen fit to check in and tell me where he is, so I don't know. And I don't care either. It doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
He can be out having fun. He can be doing anything he wants. It's his life. He can lead it any way he chooses.
Uh-huh.
That's all I have to say on the matter.
Fuck you, Eric.
Good morning.
Hey. What's up?
How you doing?
Pretty good. So, what do you think about this Perot character? I mean, if he's elected, he's just going to drop out and just take, like, a break?
I don't know what you mean. He's going to drop out?
Yeah, he's just going to just leave for, like, a couple of months.
Well, that's what he did. Yeah, actually, in a way, it was kind of smart. He sort of, you know, got away from all the ugliness of the campaign, just sort of took a vacation, and then came back and resumed.
Yeah, but you can't trust a guy like that.
No, but then again, can you really trust anybody else? I mean, at least you know from the outset you can't trust this guy.
I wouldn't trust the Bush either, I mean. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, who do you feel the least uncomfortable with?
Least?
Yeah.
Tell you the truth, Bush. Yeah. He's scary. He's so smart.
Wait, you feel comfortable with him because he's scary and smart?
No, I feel comfortable with Clinton because okay. He doesn't know what he's doing. But
I like your approach. Because he doesn't know what he's doing, you're comfortable with it. I mean, maybe that's what we need.
Yeah, but if you look at Bush's background, he was the head of the CIA. I mean, he's not a stupid guy. This guy can, whatever, you know, take some missiles and blow up Russia or something.
Well, it'd be kind of passé to do something like that, I think. But, yeah, I see the point. There's a lot of power in the hands of the president. And, I don't know, I think Bush has abused his power, though, something fierce. And it's being brought up, you know, day after day that he lied about Iran-Contra. They really did know what was going on. There was yet another report today from someone else that was involved that said he was there when it was discussed. So he's going to have a hard time getting out of that, and we should make sure that the truth is known.
Yeah, I was just wondering, are you having those teleconferences tonight?
We might have one later on.
Okay.
But I want to get through the whole switchboard first.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
Good morning.
Hey, Eric, what's up?
Not much. How are you?
You're not going to do teleconference right away?
Yeah. Not right away. Maybe a little later.
It's going to be hard to get through later.
Why?
It just is. I get so many people calling.
Well, you know, it gets pretty powerful. But every time you put somebody in a teleconference, though, that frees up one line.
You just kind of like start one with us.
Well, you see, the problem right now is that we have no free lines to put you on.
Oh, you don't?
No, so we've got to figure out another system, and we hopefully will have that worked out in about, I don't know, 20 minutes or so.
I like the hotline thing.
They're all ringing. Every single line on the phone is ringing right now.
All right.
So, I mean, we can't put you anywhere.
All right, we'll cooperate with them. We know
just too popular for our own good, I guess.
Yeah, we're on three-way calling here.
Yeah.
Ah, three-way calling. Isn't that fun?
We got our own telecom.
Yeah.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah, all right.
But,
well, if you had three-way, too, then you could three-way somebody else in, and you could keep going and going.
We know who we're voting for, though.
Yep.
All right, who are you voting for?
John Gotti.
John Gotti.
He's going to be the first person elected from prison.
Uh-huh. Well, that's an interesting approach.
Knows how to handle himself.
Yeah.
Saves a lot of time, too, you know, because that way you don't have to worry about prosecuting, you know, the person in power.
Yeah.
Because they're already, you know, been convicted. Yeah, I guess that would save a lot of, you know, a lot of questioning and doubt.
Okay, we took a poll.
Uh-huh.
Small poll, yeah.
Well, you should put it back, because the thing is, you know, there's lots of things that need to be stood up upon.
Well, we took a poll out of prisons from 50 states.
Mm-hmm. Boy,
and,
that's 50 polls.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gotti was way ahead.
Was he?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's,
Yeah, we are, because, I mean, he's just a very great person in our life.
But you finished a close second, Eric.
I finished a close second?
Yeah, you did.
Oh, boy. Well, that's...
A lot of people in San Quentin.
That's something I have to think seriously about.
Yeah, you're doing especially well.
Uh-huh.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri, huh?
Yeah, and the Pennsylvania Institute for Men.
Yeah.
They really like you.
You know, I have a special relationship with them.
Yeah?
Yes. Yeah, but, boy, that's, that sort of brightens my day, I guess.
But,
At 12:57 at night.
But, we're very confident that John Gotti will win.
Uh-huh.
And I feel very comfortable having him as President of the United States.
And we'll have, like, great protection as far as
CIA goes. Yeah, we'll have all the
time. Or, like, him getting hit or whatever.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think the president should be able to ensure protection for all of his citizens.
Definitely.
Uh-huh.
For a nominal fee, but, you know, I think most of us would be willing to pay that.
That Saddam guy, man, he'll be gone.
Oh, he's gone. He's
got to get
him.
Uh-huh.
But I just wanted to talk about Perot for a second.
Okay.
I think Perot never really wanted to be president. So I think why he dropped out is because he thought that he could win at that time. But why he's running, really, is just trying to make the other candidates, tell the truth. Because I really feel Perot is, like, talking, you know, seriously. And I think the other candidates are just lying. And I think he's just trying to affect the other candidates.
He's just scaring everybody, jumping in, jumping out.
I see. Yeah, I think he's having that effect. I don't see how he can actually win.
Oh, he can't win. It's impossible. But I think he dropped out because he thought he could win. And I don't think he doesn't want to be.
Remember,
I know he doesn't want to be president.
Well,
remember why he said he was...
might just blow each other out completely and I want to vote for Perot.
He said he was dropping out because he wanted to avoid a constitutional crisis of some sort if there was, like, a three-way tie and had to be decided by the House of Representatives. So he did it for the you know, interest of the country. And then you have to ask him, well, what about the interest of the country now, then? You know, under your definition, it's not a good thing for you to be running.
Hmm.
No one's asked that question, as far as I can see.
Yeah. That's true. So, but it doesn't matter, because John Gotti will be elected.
Yeah, he will be the president.
Who will be his vice president?
Vice President.
You didn't think of that, did you?
Oh, because he hasn't announced it yet.
Uh-huh.
But you were one of the rumors going on.
Yeah, you were, because you'd be coming second as far as the president.
Yeah.
Well, that's something to think about. I don't know if I'd be able to continue doing this show in that event.
Would you like to be a vice president?
Well, I don't know if I want to follow in the steps of Dan Quayle, but...
You know, Eric, it's like so cool because all you get to do is just sit there over the Senate and do nothing. Cool.
Yeah, that is appealing, I must admit. But then again, it could sit in the Senate and do nothing. It's not really, you know, different either way. But,
Get paid $150,000 a year. I mean, come on, that's cool.
It is convincing, I'll say that. And the weather is nicer down there.
Learn how to spell first, you know.
Yeah, do you know how
well,
to
spell? Well, I know how to spell. I majored in spelling.
You know how to
yeah.
use guns?
You have no problem.
Sorry?
Guns?
What about guns?
Well, it's going to be working with John Gotti.
Of course.
You know about guns.
Well, I know about guns.
But do you know how to use them?
Well, yeah, you point them at the person you want to shoot, not at yourself, which is a common mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And, you have to
alibis,
wear...
Alibis, witnesses, stuff like that, yeah.
You have to wear Armani suits, so...
Uh-huh.
You have to wear those.
Yeah, I heard about that.
And you're going to have to...
Giorgio Armani glasses.
So. All right. I think we got the point across.
Oh.
Any parting comments?
Yeah. No, we don't, do we?
No, I don't have any parting comments.
We're
going to
call later because we want to be on teleconference.
Okay, where are you calling from?
What?
Where are you calling from?
The White House.
Right, okay.
We're calling from
Hop Hog.
Yeah, can I just, like, ask a few people to call up?
Sure, go ahead.
All right, Brian, if you're listening, call up. Vanessa, if you're listening. And all Vanessa's friends.
Oh, and Miss September 92?
Yeah, we know her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mr. Gotti, if you're listening.
Yeah.
All those people. We can get through.
I'll give you a call later.
Okay. 632-6901, 632-6500. Speaking of guns, I'm glad they said that. This is proof of how crazy our country is. Our country is completely mad. And if you don't believe it, just take a trip to another country and you'll see what other people think of us. A story like this, though, is absolutely amazing. Okay, a court bailiff shot and critically wounded a convicted murderer today when the man pulled out a pistol after being sentenced to 50 years in prison. He was sentenced to 50 years in prison and he pulled out a pistol. A prisoner. Bobby Joe McKay... 56 years old, had just been sentenced to 50 years in prison when he pulled the weapon at about 10 a.m. There were about 50 people in the courtroom. No one else was injured. And he was shot in the head by the bailiff. Hospital listed his condition as critical. He was convicted on August 13th for the murder of a janitor, Wesley Lewis, during a confrontation at a Birmingham business last May. Prisoners pulling out guns at sentencing time. Makes you wonder... just how out of control the gun situation is in this country. This makes you wonder a little bit, you know? 632-6901, 632-6500, good morning.
How's it going?
How you doing?
You can teleconference?
Well, I said I was going to do it later.
Yeah, well, I'm on the line that's blocking it all up.
Well, you're on one of the lines, but everybody's blocking it up. But hopefully within a few more calls we'll be able to figure something else out. We have an alternative system being installed.
Am I the last one on?
No, there's a couple more people after you.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of Perot? You know, I think that he's going to, make Bush win by default.
Well, I'd be very mad at him if he did that, because it looks like Clinton is, he's ahead in the polls, he's doing well, people are, you know, sick of Bush and everything like that, and they actually want to change. If this guy comes along and splits the vote, you know, it's going to be like what Jacob Javits did. In that got Al D'Amato elected. I would not be very, very happy if that was the result.
Yeah, because that's mostly the reason why Perot is probably back in.
Well, Perot should not be running unless he believes he can win.
No, I think he's running so he can get Bush to win by default. Is that for Clinton? You know,
well, that's not the right idea to run. You know, it's not the right reason to run.
Yeah, but he's stupid. You know what do you expect?
I don't think any of them are stupid, but. They are self-motivated.
Yeah, they just
know.
Want money.
Well, yeah, I guess that's what most people seem to want.
Money and power.
Yeah. Power and money. In that order, probably, because power gets you the money.
Yeah.
And then with money, you can buy yourself happiness.
Well, then they should have a Jewish guy do it.
Right. Good morning. Anybody there?
Yo, hello, what's up?
Hi, you almost got hung up on just now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you gotta be quick on the draw there.
All right.
Yeah,
who do you want to win?
Well, I think I'm leaning towards Clinton right now. I assume you're talking about the presidential race and not
right, exactly.
A football game or something. Yeah, I think I'm leaning in that direction.
Really?
Well, how about you?
Don't you think he seems kind of fake, though?
Well, yeah, but maybe a politician that doesn't seem fake.
Yeah, but I mean, there's, less fake ones out there, if you know what I mean. I mean, like, Perot, I mean, Bush is, like, honest that he's, I mean, he's not, like, making a big deal that he's going to do something because, you know, obviously he hasn't done anything. He's not, like, leading on that he is going to do anything. He's doing the wise thing and, like not saying anything.
Well, it's not necessarily true. Every day he comes up with announcements about, you know, the new idea he came up with to help this particular part of America.
Yeah, but I mean, Clinton's full of it, though. I mean, Clinton's like a preacher.
He does, yeah, you're right. He does look like a preacher at times and talks like a preacher.
Yeah, I don't think something like that should be in charge of our country. I mean, no offense to the Christian race or anything, but, I mean, don't you think that's true?
Well, I look at, you know, Bush's tenure in the White House, and I see what he has accomplished and what he has done. And I think that puts him at a disadvantage.
I mean, besides the last war we had, I mean, that was a victory. But, you know, right now, don't you think we need a progressive president for, like, our economy? I mean, he's, like, more military, don't you think?
Who, Bush?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's more military conservative, backwards, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's how I look at it, anyway.
And what else do you see in Clinton? Like, what exactly do you see in him that he's
just,
made
well,
a good president?
You know, I don't see all that much in him per se, but I just see
somebody else besides
a change,
Bush.
Yeah, a change in a different direction. Like, you know, Reagan was a change too, but it was a change in a direction I didn't particularly want to go. And now I've been dragged all the way over here by these people for the last 12 years, so now I'd sort of like to say, okay, let's make a left turn just for a little while and see how scenic this road is.
Tell me, though, besides him dropping out of the race, I'm talking about Perot now, besides him dropping out of the race, what else? You know, what else is wrong with Bro, anyway? What does everybody have against him?
Apart from the accent, you mean? I mean, that's what a lot of people do have a problem with, but I don't really care about that.
I mean, I think Perot would make a good president because, like, for, like, the last, what, 20-some-odd years or something like that, I mean, hasn't he been trying to get, you know, the veterans out of, like, Vietnam? I mean, it's not proven that there is or is not still soldiers in Vietnam or whatever.
Well, he definitely finishes what he sets out to do, but the only question is he going to do what the people want him to do? I mean, he'll finish whatever he wants to do, but will he do what we want him to?
Don't you think we need a president like that? You know, he's been trying, you know, he doesn't quit. I mean, we need a president like that.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, and the other thing is, I don't know anything about his vice presidential candidate, and that does have to count for something. You know, like, if you look at the vice presidential candidates we do know, which is Gore and Quayle, I mean, I think most people would put Gore miles ahead of Quayle. But this guy, I know nothing about him. Does anybody?
That's another thing. Like, how could... I just don't understand this. How could Bush not drop Quayle? I just don't get it.
Pride. I mean, he doesn't want to admit he was wrong.
He's just incredibly hindering to him, and, I mean, he doesn't have one good aspect about him.
Mm-hmm.
How could he keep him? I don't get that.
Yeah, it's and they really, despite, you know, Murphy Brown and the potato incident, I don't think enough attention has been brought to that fact because, you know, that is the next president if something happens to Bush.
Yeah, Murphy Brown, definitely. I think Murphy Brown shouldn't run for president. That's an excellent idea.
Yeah, that would be something, a fictional TV character winning a presidential race.
Well, I mean, it's a good thought. I mean, it's a good dream. I want somebody.
It's a good
like
social
Murphy
commentary.
Brown to win. Uh-huh. You think a female should, like, run for president?
I don't think it makes any difference. No, I don't think it makes any difference. And I think, you know, we're all hung up on female, male, black, white, whatever.
You really don't think that would make any difference?
Not in the end as far as who wound up in office. No, I don't think it would make a bit of difference at all. It certainly would make a difference in the campaign because you'd have people saying, oh, we can't have a woman in the White House. And then you have other people saying, vote for this person on the sole reason that she's a woman, both of which are completely wrong. You know, and in the end, though, the person would do the same kind of job, bad or good, probably.
What do you think of the idea of having Jesse Jackson for president?
It would be exciting. It would be, you know, an interesting process, in, to say the least. But I'd like, you know, I'd like to see Jesse Jackson part of the process. I don't want to see, you know, it weighted down on any of the sides that, you know, people tend to take. You know, I'd like to see Jesse Jackson maybe as a running mate to somebody who isn't quite Jesse Jackson-ish, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I get
like,
that.
Imagine Ross Perot and Jesse Jackson together. That would be something.
Yeah, I mean, I think they should give Ross Perot. I mean, Ross Perot try. I mean, I'm truly he's mysterious and everything, and nobody knows, you know, how he'd go about running our country. But still, I think it would be interesting, you know, choose somebody like that. I mean, he just looks to me like a better choice than Clinton, because Clinton just, you know, I know all politicians are fake, but Clinton is just the fakest politician I've ever seen. Just the way he talks, the way he acts. I mean, everything about him is just so fake.
Yeah, I can see that. I see what you're saying, and I do see that in him, too. And, yeah, it bothered me, especially at the beginning. But, you know, when I looked at what the options were to Clinton, you know, I think I'm going to have to take my chances this time.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think of Clinton in comparison to Dukakis?
Oh, my God. Well, let's see.
If you can even remember Dukakis.
I think they're similar in a few ways, you know. I mean, I'd say, well, let's see. What? Dukakis, I don't think he would have made such a bad president, actually, you know. That was a long time. That was 4 years ago. It's hard to remember. But,
yeah, well, he put people to sleep, you know. The guy had no charisma whatsoever.
Yeah, but still, I mean, how many people almost voted for him? I mean, he almost was, you know, he was almost the president, right, in 88?
It wasn't that close.
He was like, well, I don't know. He was pretty close, though. But, I don't know. This whole thing is just like, I just wish somebody would just come to a conclusion. I wish there was a perfect, just a perfect choice for president. Everybody has just so many things wrong with them. You know, Perot's got, you know, all the... Each president has got an equal share of controversy.
Well, that's exactly the point, that people are not perfect and that they should be looked upon as people rather than as these gods. And everybody's going to have faults. The only thing is, you know, what is the magnitude of their faults and how dangerous are those faults? You know, somebody wanting to get out of a war they didn't believe in, is that comparable to somebody, you know, funneling money to a bunch of terrorists, really?
Yeah. Well,
so, I mean, you know, you have to weigh those two things and ask yourself which is the worst of the two evils.
Yeah, that's basically what we're looking for, the least evil, you know, candidate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somebody with the, you know, each and every one of them has, like, you know, bad points, but we're looking for, like, you know, the least bad point. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's think, in another month, it'll all be over.
I think we should have Quayle for president.
Well, that would certainly be interesting. That'd be about as interesting as Perot for president, I think.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
I know there's a lot of people trying to get it, so I'll get off now. So.
Okay,
nice
thanks.
Talking.
Thanks for calling in. 632-6901, 632-6500. And we're going to take a little trip now. No, you know, we're going to take the kind of trip that is legal to take anyway. I can remember how to do it. We're going to speak to one of the people that is part of this whole process.
This is the White House press office for Thursday, October 1st. President Bush announced today the government will help increase the use of domestically produced renewable fuel. The president said in the White House Rose Garden that renewable U.S. fuel would help farmers, help clean the air, and help promote energy security. We have two cuts from the president's remarks. The first cut is 1 minute 27 seconds, and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
We have a very positive announcement, one that will help America's farmers, one that will help clean our air, and one that will promote our energy security by increasing the use of domestically produced renewable fuels. And I'm announcing today that the administration has decided to effectively grant a 1-pound volatility waiver for ethanol, and to do so in a way that is fully consistent with the Clean Air Act and protective of the environment. This 1-pound waiver will apply to all reformulated gasoline blended with ethanol sold in northern U.S. cities in up to 30% of the market of these cities. And as you know, the Clean Air Act requires that the smoggiest of these cities reduce smog-forming emissions by 15% in the summer months. And to make sure that this reduction is achieved, we will require that the volatility of gasoline sold in these cities be reduced to 7.8 pounds per square inch. Gasoline with this volatility level is being sold in southern cities under current regulations right now. So we have confidence it can be achieved at little cost to the consumer. In fact, our estimate is that the effect on the price of gasoline would be only about 3/10 of a penny. And our program also permits ethanol use to expand even further.
The final cut is 54 seconds and begins on my count. 3, 2, 1.
The bottom line is this. Clean building ethanol can help reduce pollution. It is domestically produced. It is renewable. And this waiver will allow ethanol to participate in both the summer and winter programs required under the Clean Air Act. And it will do so in a way that protects all of the environment, all of the environmental benefits that we worked so hard for when that law was enacted. I know that this question of how to allow ethanol to play a role in our reformulated gasoline program has been extraordinarily complex and a very difficult one. But I am pleased that this creative solution allows us to proceed in a way that is good for farmers, good for rural America, good for the environment in our cities, and good for American consumers and motorists.
This is the White House Press Office.
And there you have it, straight from the horse's mouth, as it were. You notice how all the good ideas now come out of the woodwork. You know, this is good for farmers, this is good for the environment, this is good for brain-damaged listeners and everybody else under the sun. Never fails. Well, in a month we'll know. 632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Eric, what's up?
How you doing?
What are you saying about the gun before? You mean you're not supposed to point it at yourself?
You're not supposed to point the gun at yourself. You're supposed to point it at the opponent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I knew that.
I was getting something wrong there. It's like if the gun goes off and then I black out and I wake up and I'm in the hospital.
No.
And like,
right.
You know, the other person doesn't have a gun and I'm wondering why I'm in the hospital.
Right, because you pointed it the wrong way.
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind next time I go shoot somebody.
Well, you really shouldn't have a gun in the first place, you know.
Yeah.
But no, I won't even get into that because that'll just take too long.
I learned it from watching you.
Uh-huh.
I love the commercial.
Oh, yeah, right, the drug commercial.
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be a good parody for Saturday night, you know. Where'd you learn to shoot a gun? Yeah.
On a serious note, Perot, nobody's going to take him seriously now. Or ever for that fact, you know. Because the guy drops out, you know, before election. You know, before it starts, like, getting...
Yeah, what if he loses interest after winning? What was he going to do then, you know?
But, like, when he first came out, I think, you know, what people saw was just, like, the, you know, the Texas millionaire part. Nobody, you know, really, you know, took in, you know, consideration what he saw, except maybe for his opponents and like, the, you know, a select few people.
Yeah.
And,
So people are waking up to reality now, eh?
Yeah. Also, when you got back from, where was it that you were in?
Eastern Europe.
Like what part?
Yugoslavia, Romania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Hungary, Eastern Germany, and Austria.
Mm. Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
No. I only had 3 weeks, so I didn't have time to sample everything.
You have not lived till you've been in a Turkish prison.
Yeah, and or die. Yes, I know. It's well, you know, I watch Midnight Express every now and then, and I just think of what could be.
The stories.
Yeah.
Do you like gladiator movies?
Gladiator movies? I don't know if I've ever seen one actually.
Why? They're very well.
Are they big these days?
Made.
What's that?
They're very tastefully made, I think.
Are they?
Yes.
Well, are there many out?
Yeah, well, there's some that are like 20 years old, but,
uh-huh.
Yeah, they're old.
Yeah.
And, I want to make a fact that I don't like you in a gay sort of way, I like you in a prison sort of way, so.
You like me in a prison sort of way?
Yes.
You gotta explain that to me.
In a prison sort of way.
Explain what that means.
In a Turkish prison sort of way.
You like me in a Turkish prison sort of way.
Yes. I can't really explain over the air, but you get the picture.
Well, just explain it to me sometime. Do me that favor.
Okay.
Just so that I don't go to my grave not knowing what that means.
At the rally at Smithhaven Mall.
Yeah, you gonna be there?
Maybe. I hope there aren't, like, any, gonna be any, like, people bring, like, said fetus is over.
I hope not.
But you never know.
You know. You know. How do you? How would you counter a dead fetus? What do you do there?
I don't know. I guess you just duck. Hope it doesn't get thrown at you. You know.
I don't think they throw them at people, but I think they just like show them to people and expect them to turn away in disgust. But what they don't realize is they don't have to show us a dead fetus for us to turn away in disgust.
We'll do that if they just come. At a rally, you know? When there was a guy that brought a fetus over.
Uh huh. What, here?
Would it be kind of smelly?
Here on Long Island?
I don't know. I don't think it was.
There's a person that did that to Clinton at the Democratic convention.
Yeah.
Right.
Well,
anyway, just to update people, there's supposed to be a Operation Rescue, anti-choice, quote-unquote pro-life demonstration tomorrow in front of the Smith Haven Mall.
It looks like Mr. Quayle won't be calling up anymore.
No, he's got three more weeks to call in, and then he'll be retired. He'll be retired.
Yeah, because Clinton, there's no doubt in my mind he's going to win. Absolutely no doubt. You know, number one, his wife is pretty good looking. You gotta admit that. I'd bone her. But, plus he plays sax, you know, which would be good for, a musician.
Yeah, of course.
Plays music.
Right.
He's honest about his mistakes. You know, doesn't know how to smoke pot, but I don't
know. No, he doesn't know how to smoke pot, that's for sure. And that's what lost me the most respect for him.
And, I don't know why he cheated on his wife. That's pretty stupid.
Why what?
Why he cheated on his wife. She's not that bad looking, to tell you the truth.
Well, I don't know if it's a question of how somebody looks or whatever. It's just a question of circumstances and things like that. Because other people look different ways.
Are you into jazz at all?
Sorry?
Are you into jazz?
Sometimes when jazz is on the radio, I, don't get up right away to turn it off.
Have you ever been to a jazz concert?
I might have been to one or two.
I went to a great concert last night. A guy named Alan Holdsworth.
Uh-huh.
It's incredible.
Where was this?
At the IMAC in Huntington.
Yeah? That's a good place to see jazz concerts, I know that.
Yeah, bad part of the neighborhood, though.
Uh-huh.
My friend said about last time he went there, he saw, this guy being beaten up.
Yeah, well, there's all kinds of cultural events you can witness.
Yeah,
that's certainly one of them. But IMAC is in your neighborhood.
What?
IMAC is in your neighborhood, you said?
No.
Oh, it's not?
No.
Okay.
In that neighborhood, there's a large exhibition of, finest guns made.
Where's this?
You could sample the best firearms ever made. And,
What kind of exhibition is this?
In that neighborhood, it's not a very good part of the neighborhood. I'm not saying it's because it's a lot of black people, but it's not a very good part of the neighborhood.
Well, I didn't say you were saying it because there are a lot of black people, but, there's bad neighborhoods. There's neighborhoods that are economically troubled and where there's too many guns out there and, too many people turning to desperate measures.
Yeah, well, you don't want to be going through there where your windows open, playing Vanilla Ice or something like that. And you'll get killed.
Or Paul McCartney or anything like that. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't like it very much.
Well, I wouldn't drive around anywhere doing that.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't drive with my windows open. Around there with my windows open, anyway. So.
No, you shouldn't drive with the windows open in the first place.
Yeah, with your head too far up from the window, yeah.
Yeah. Keep your windows closed. It's always been my advice.
Huh?
Hey, there is a sobriety checkpoint on the Wisconsin Highway last night.
Oh, there is?
Yeah, somewhere in Hopog, the Hopog area, because there have been all these fatal crashes with DWIs. They actually were pulling everybody over on the highway and checking them to see if they were sober.
Yeah, well, once they get out of the car, you can usually tell how drunk they are, vomiting on a cop isn't really a good sign.
No, falling down when you get up isn't good either.
And it's get out of the car, all these empty beer cans, coming at you.
Right.
Yelling, oh, the colors, come get
you. No, you don't want to have to do that, but it was interesting, when I saw the sign that said sobriety checkpoint ahead, the number of cars that suddenly decided to turn off on the lane before that It's, you know, it makes you wonder what exactly is going on the highways. I saw three cars do that.
It's something you don't want to yell out, something you don't want to say, like when you're like close to the checkpoint, it's like test the roach or something, yeah. Like hot, you know, hide the joint.
Well, they weren't checking for that, I don't think, but yeah, they probably would have not liked that.
Yeah. Gotta get going.
Okay, well, maybe we'll see you at the rally tomorrow.
Possibly. Bring my fetus along.
No, you're not supposed to bring a fetus. That's supplied.
They give them to you there?
Yeah, the Operation Rescue people supply the fetuses.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, that's always been an unwritten law.
Complimentary fetus, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the time they had the, you know, the Independence Day rally at the mall, and they gave out all these American flags. Made in China, they all said.
Can't you just buy, like, fetus parts?
I'm not sure. You see, I haven't shopped around for
and
the fetus in a while.
Chicken parts? Can you buy like fetus parts?
Ask Frank Perdue. I don't know.
I doubt you'd find them in your local supermarket.
I think maybe we've exhausted the subject here. All right? Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
Oh, this is going to be quite a day tomorrow. I hope it doesn't rain. Good morning.
Hey, what's up there?
Not a whole lot. I mean, you know, we're talking about all kinds of interesting things, but
Well, we're staying calm. Before I start talking, I just want to make a few corrections.
Okay, well, you got to speak up a little bit, because...
Okay.
That's better.
All right. I just want to make a few corrections and, like, make a few suggestions.
Okay.
You asked, like, how to combat a dead fetus?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you bring the body of a dead teenage girl who died of a botched abortion?
But you see, you can't hide that because they're going to see you coming with that. And it's not like you can fold it up in your purse or something like that.
Well, bring a picture or something then.
Well, I don't know. You know, when somebody presents you with a dead, this should be like something that Miss Manners deals with. How do you respond when somebody shows you a dead fetus? It must be a culturally correct way to do this. And I don't think, you know, whipping out the body of a teenage girl is you know, the right answer. Oh, I know, a picture. How about a picture? Yeah.
That's what I said.
A picture tells a thousand words. I thought you meant actually... Never mind.
No, I'm not...
Okay, because that would have been difficult.
Very. Unless you can borrow, like, a stretched limo or, like, one of those things.
And illegal, too. I'm told that it would also be illegal. Thank you. Yes.
What?
To do that. I'm told that breaks at least one law.
But it's not illegal to bring a fetus with you?
Well, you know, it's funny because if they had their way, they'd be arrested right there on the spot. So, you know, maybe we should humor them and throw them in jail for the rest of their lives for murder. Or for aiding and abetting. I don't know, for whatever.
Whatever reason we can come up with.
Yeah.
Also, with the bush beast you called up to before?
I'm sorry?
You remember when you called up the Bush campaign?
Yeah, the Bush comments.
Yeah. Was it just me, or did that sound like he was going after the environmental vote?
Yes, he was going after the environmental vote by saying something he did was good for the environment, thereby saying that even Bush can do something that's good for the environment once in a blue moon. But I don't think that's going to be enough in itself.
Mm. Also, when Mr. Quayle called up before?
Yes, I remember.
Yeah, when he said Quayle was kidding about what he said?
Yeah, about the private school, going to the private school.
He wasn't kidding. He was pointing out that the government-sponsored public schools stink.
Uh-huh.
Because one of Bush's platforms is to privatize schools and have a school of choice.
Wasn't this a touch of sarcasm in that remark, though?
Yeah, I guess, but he wasn't kidding. That's what he meant by his comment.
Uh-huh. I don't know if it warranted front-page coverage, but, it warranted coverage of some sort.
Well, Superman got front-page coverage.
Yeah, and it didn't warrant that, that's for sure.
Also, what you were saying about Perot with the female vice president?
Uh-huh.
What were you saying about that?
I just said that, I don't know if I said specifically Perot and a female vice president. I just think it would have been more interesting if he had picked somebody that we had heard of before, whether it was female, black, white, whatever. It just would be more interesting and something that would give him more strength. And this guy no one's ever heard of before, I don't think he's going to do much for him.
After this next comment, you'll be able to tell who I am.
All right.
All right. The Libertarians have a vice presidential candidate who's a woman.
Uh-huh.
And I heard you said you haven't heard from the Libertarians in a long time.
Yes, and I was hoping that somebody from the Libertarians would call because it's been a while.
Well, here I am.
Well, my hopes have been answered.
I have answered your prayers.
And I just have to figure out what to do now.
Okay. Andre Marou, the presidential candidate, is in the debates.
He's in
presidential debates, but I don't think they're going to put him in the major ones.
Uh-huh.
They're probably going to put him in, like, the loser ones with, like, the New Alliance Party. And, like,
well, now, who is they?
The people you were talking about before, the debating committee. You actually have a committee set up to run these things.
I'd like to know, now, you know, I was mentioning this before, that there are these debates going on, and the one on October 15th involves questions from the audience. Now,
who's the audience?
Who's the audience, and how do you get into the audience?
Maybe it's like their, like, immediate family or something.
I don't know, that's the one in East Lansing, Michigan.
They pick people, from their immediate family and give them questions to ask.
That would be, it'll be something on it.
Are you busy next Sunday?
Am I busy next Sunday?
No, I'm saying if they call up, like, their parents. Ma, are you busy next Sunday?
Oh, I see. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Also, I'm, like, kind of happy that Perot is in the debate, so.
It makes things more interesting.
No, not that. I finally get to find out what he thinks.
Don't count on it. Don't. I mean, it's quite possible he'll be able to go for the next month without saying a single thing of substance.
Yeah. Well, what do you think of the economic issue? I'll take the fifth.
Well, I don't think it's very. These are very good indicators. I don't think so at all.
Also, what day was it? I think it was Tuesday. On Channel 13.
Yeah.
Andre Marou had a 60-minute interview with McNeil and Lair.
Really?
Yes.
That's very good.
Which is twice the amount of time that they gave Dan Quayle.
Well, he's probably twice as interesting, at least.
Yeah, he was. Also, he's the presidential candidate, not the vice president.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the Libertarians do have commercials now in New York.
And
you watch either Channel 2, 4, or 7, the major networks.
Yeah.
From like 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., they show commercials.
Uh-huh. And you want to tell us what those commercials are like?
I haven't seen them. I'm out the door on my way to school, so. I know they're on, though. I've heard from various sources.
I see.
I'm out the door on my way to school, so.
Uh-huh.
Also, did you see today's Newsday?
Before I threw it across the room, I glanced at it, yes.
Did you see that thing where, like, they have various states with, like, their polls with, like, this percentage towards Bush and, like, this...
No, I didn't see that part of it.
Oh,
that part must have landed on the floor.
As a matter of fact, I have it right here in front of me.
Oh, boy.
I'm prepared.
I guess I couldn't escape this. Okay, go ahead.
In California, they have Bush has 30%, Clinton has 49%, and Perot has 14%. And the Libertarians have permanent ballot status in California, which would therefore mean you have Libertarians there, but you
okay.
don't see them covered.
Why do you think that is? I mean, I think we know why it is, but...
Because the media stinks.
Okay, that's a blunt answer.
Especially Newsday.
Yeah, well, especially Newsday because they had potential and they're blowing it.
They're starting to go down the tubes like the Post.
Oh, they're halfway down the tubes already.
That's true. Are you going to do teleconference?
Yeah, in fact, I think we've just figured it out, and all right, this is how it's going to work. Because we don't have any free lines, what we're going to wind up doing is using the capability of this phone system a little bit more than anybody thought. And usually what we do when we teleconference people is we put them on hold, and they can talk to each other while they're on hold without talking to us on the radio.
Yes.
And we put them on hold on one of our lines.
Yes.
The difference is that now... Since we don't have any lines, we're going to put you on hold on somebody else's lines. Yes, we're going to pick random lines throughout the campus that aren't being used right now, that we don't think anybody is there.
Wait a minute, you're going to put me, like, on hold on, like, somebody's dorm line?
Well, you know, we're going to put you somewhere where we don't think anybody is. And what's going to happen is, you know, after you've been talking to these people while you're on hold for about 10 minutes straight, it will start ringing their phone. And the advantage there is they probably won't answer until maybe Monday. So you can stay on as long as you like.
Well, what happens if, like,
If they do answer, then you're out of luck. But, you know, it's no harm done to anybody.
If they do answer, should I just, like, hang up or...
No, invite them to join in the teleconference.
Right, or where tell them where I came from.
You might want to try to explain that, but I think it might get kind of complicated. The only possible sticking point here is that I might lose people and forget where I put them. So I'm going to write down on this piece of paper here where I'm putting everybody.
Okay.
And hopefully nobody will get lost. So you'll be the first.
I am going to be, like, hooked up with somebody else, though.
You will be hooked up, and we'll be able to get you back. It's like beaming you in. We'll be able to do that occasionally. At some point, though, we won't be able to do that anymore. So let me put you on hold.
Oh, wait.
At some location somewhere at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. I'm sorry?
Speaking of beaming in.
Yes?
Guess who I saw today?
Who'd you see today?
Scotty? Yes, James Doohan.
Really?
Yes.
What, on the subway?
No, a Star Trek convention.
Oh. Well, he likes to go to those things too, eh?
No, he was the guest speaker there.
Oh, what a surprise. Well, that's something.
Yeah.
So the Star Trek conventions are still going strong, huh?
Yeah.
Amazing.
There's a lot of people there.
Okay, well, that's good to hear.
I got myself a pair of pointy ears.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they come in very handy.
They do.
Halloween is right around the corner.
I was wearing them on my ride home from the train station today. You'd be surprised how many people, like, swerve off the road and they see.
Yes, I can imagine. All right, listen, let's get started with this teleconference thing. Otherwise, we won't have time for the other people.
Okay.
So hold on, and we'll see if we can transport you safely.
See you soon.
Okay. You have more confidence than I do. Let's see what happens. Okay, I'm going to press these buttons here. Uh-oh. We have a malfunction. Oh, dear. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right, hold on. We had a malfunction. We're going to try that again.
Okay.
All right. Okay, he's gone. He's gone, and he's waiting someplace else. And we'll hopefully join him later. Good morning.
Blue.
How you doing?
I was calling about the Halloween season.
Yeah?
Yes, Halloween is the time my family get together. Yes, we have fun. Well, first me. My name's Uncle Sambo King, and the rest of the children, you know, Pam, John, Steve, Finney, Jenna, Mac, Rufus, Levi, we all get in the neighbor's backyard. Sorry, Mr. Gluten, he's my neighbor, and steal a couple pumpkins from his pumpkin patch. I hate them with Mr.
Gluten. Oh, my God, my finger twitched. My finger twitched and knocked him right off. I can't believe that. Boy, finger's got more brains in it than my head. Good morning.
Who was that moron?
I don't know. We don't have caller ID. We don't know who our callers are.
Oh, you should set that up.
Yeah, I know.
No, two callers ago, what was that all about with, who was that? Oh, damn, I forgot. Never mind.
No, don't worry, I won't.
I'm brain dead.
Well, you're in the right place then.
Brain damage. Okay,
yeah.
Well, that was about it.
That was, okay. Do you want to join our teleconference?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Okay, hold on, let me see if I can do this. Wait, I don't know what the next step is. Hold on, I think I got to get the other person back here first and then put you back in that place that he came from. So let me try that. Hold on. Hopefully this will work. All right, is this our first caller?
It is.
You're still okay?
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to hook you up with our second caller. Hold on. All right, the two of you should be together now.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, you're both together. I'm going to send you back to that place where you just were. So hold on. Oh, no.
Just kill him.
Are you still there?
Yes, we are.
Hold on. I hear a phone ringing.
They're ringing in the background.
What's that?
I don't know. I thought I heard a phone ringing. I'm going to try that again. That's a problem. We seem to have a problem sending people away. Let me try this in another method. Hold on. Okay, I put them both on hold there. Now I'm going to get them over on this line. Oh, dear. We seem to be having some severe technical problems here as far as this goes. Boy, I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do with these people. They're stuck. They're stuck in a place that I can't get to them anymore. Oh, well. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Eric, what's going on?
How you doing?
I think a good presidential candidate, you want to know who it is?
Who?
Bob Koch.
Good morning.
Do you think that perhaps the Clinton-Gore ticket was set up because they can pick up both liberal and conservative votes?
Well, how can they pick up conservative votes? Because of Tipper Gore?
Yep.
Well, I think that only picks up the fascist vote, actually. I don't know if it picks up the regular conservative votes.
Call her what you want.
Yeah. I don't know, because she's toned down quite a bit. She hasn't said anything about censoring records in a while. Has she?
Not that I've heard.
Yeah.
But
it's distressing. I mean, it certainly is, thinking of her a heartbeat away from being the First Lady.
Yeah, it is. I had a question about Perot, but I forgot what it was.
Well, that's not entirely, an unnatural thing when you're dealing with Perot. He forgets what the issues are as quickly as you forget what the questions are, you see.
Yeah.
That's just the nature of it. It would be a lot of fun if he gets elected. Everybody won't know what to do next. So who are you least uncomfortable with?
Least uncomfortable with?
Yeah.
If I voted for Bill Clinton, it would be a vote against anybody else.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
Well,
who would you like to vote for if you had a wish list or whatever?
I had a wish list. I can't think of anybody that I trust enough.
Not even John Gotti?
Not even.
Oh, boy. Well, if you can't trust anybody, what's the point?
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be somebody you trust.
Can't think of anyone.
Wow. Well, I guess, maybe it's just let other people decide this for us. We're all getting so cynical.
Bad idea.
Yeah?
Bad idea. If you let someone else decide, then you're going to end up with a Ross Perot or a George Bush or Pat Buchanan.
But we wound up with a George Bush and we did it ourselves,
No. There's so many more people who have the opportunity and just...
That's true. A lot of people didn't exercise their right. What do you think of Brazil, where it's required for anybody under 70 to vote? Well, probably not infants, but...
I don't think it would work here, because they have such a hard time counting the number of people here to begin with.
Yeah.
But...
That's true. The census doesn't quite work out either.
It didn't really work out last time.
Yeah.
But...
Imagine, though, if you have one of those, things that call you on the phone, and you couldn't hang up, and you had to make a decision, where, they call you about this great cleaning sale or something like that, and... they're supposed to hang up when you hang up, but...
They never do.
They never do, right. But imagine if you couldn't hang up until you said either Perot, Clinton, or Bush. That would be scary.
Some spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the penalty for pulling your phone out of the wall would be a year in prison or something. I shouldn't say this, because I'm probably giving people ideas.
No, I just don't think it would work here.
Uh-huh.
There's too many people. So, but in a smaller country, it might... be a really good idea.
Yeah, well, maybe we should break the country up into a few different pieces. And I always thought that might work out, because I think we're too big. I think we're too sluggish because we're too big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at how bland network television is because it tries to cater to everybody in the country at once.
I don't know. I think we suffer from apathy.
Well, yeah, but I think apathy comes with, being too big to do anything.
Apathy and boredom.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, a lot of big, huge, fat people that weigh like 800 pounds get bored because they don't move around too much. And I think our country suffers from that as well. Our country is suffering from obesity. There, that's it.
So what do you propose that we do about it?
That we go on a strict diet.
And?
And we exercise more. Okay, this is what I propose. We exercise our rights more.
Yeah.
I wish I had patriotic music right now. We exercise our rights more and we eat less garbage. And we become aware of our health and our natural resources. And then we'll be fit and trim and, we'll be in better shape to make decisions and make changes and things like that. And we'll live longer, too.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think of this rally tomorrow?
Rally?
Yeah, the pro-life rally in front of Smith Haven Mall.
Oh, puke.
Did you know about that?
No, and my friend's mother is very involved with the... pro-choice movement, too.
Well, then I think you should wake her up now and tell her that there's going to be a pro-life demonstration in front of Smith Haven Mall on Jericho Turnpike tomorrow at 2 o'clock, and that all these people are planning to have a counter-demonstration. Hippies and communists and all those freaks planning to that, people believe in choice and all that kind of thing. And coat hangers are needed, I'm told.
Duke.
Yeah, that's been the general reaction around here.
God.
But I think a lot of our listeners are going to show up. I know a lot of our staff people are going to show up.
Oh, I'll show up.
Yeah. We might even bring bumper stickers.
That would be fun.
Yeah, stick them on the mouths of the people that chant all this garbage. But I don't know. It'll be an interesting experience either way.
Yeah, I don't know. I will put my 2 cents in, though. I'll be there.
Well, I hope so, because, you know, if you care, it's important.
Yep.
Because things have a habit of changing for the worse if you don't speak up.
If you don't care. Did you see the commercial? There was a commercial on TV. It was really interesting. It had Bill Clinton on one side and Bill Clinton on the other side. The screen was split. And there was a dot over his face on both sides.
Yeah.
And it was just saying how this candidate was saying this, that, and the other thing. And this candidate was saying the opposite of this, that, and the other thing. And then at the end it was like, unfortunately, this candidate is Bill Clinton. Unfortunately, so is this one. It was just really interesting.
Well, I think it would be a lot stronger if they had him actually saying that, if you heard him. I mean, is it his voice saying it?
You hear him babbling in the background.
But you don't hear him actually saying those words.
Right. You don't hear him exactly saying what the announcer is saying.
So it could be either not said at all or taken out of context.
Right.
Whereas, you know, when you listen to Bush, it's a lot easier to hear those things and to, you know.
You like that?
No, I mean, it's interesting to, it's easier to hear him contradict himself and, you know, with this whole Bosnian thing, you know, for the longest time, he wasn't taking any action saying anything about it, and whereas, you know, with Saddam Hussein, he had to act swiftly and quickly to protect democracy, and he obviously doesn't care about that as much, otherwise he would have done something sooner, you know, with regards to that situation.
Did you say anything about the Turkey thing?
Well, I think everybody's saying they're sorry and all that, but nothing more.
Sorry? You know, I think whether that was a case of human error or sheer stupidity, though.
Well, it goes to show when you play, just like when you play with guns, if you play with missiles, you're going to make mistakes and kill people.
Yeah, I was wondering, what were they doing firing live ammunition?
I don't know. It doesn't make any sense. We're all at peace now.
That was like my first reaction when I heard about it.
Yeah, it's really the same mentality. People just can't stop playing with toys. And to these people, it's just a lot of toys, these nuclear bombs and everything. And what if it had been something nuclear? That would be something, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
don't
think about that.
Please.
Well, it's a warning I think we should take seriously. You know, we're trusting our lives to the hands of a lot of imbeciles. Yeah, I said it. Go ahead, open a file on me now. I said it. But it's true.
Why? You know, are they listening?
Oh, they always listen. They're everywhere.
Monsters are due on Maple Street, huh?
What is that, a Twilight Zone episode?
Ray Bradbury. It was a play. It's really cool. I think I read it.
Wait, was that the one where everybody thinks a UFO landed?
No. There's like this UFO that landed. It's watching people accuse each other. And then, like, eventually I think they kill somebody at the end.
Right, that was made into a Twilight Zone episode.
Probably was.
Yeah.
I don't really watch the Twilight Zone. I watched it. Occasionally.
Yeah, I saw it about 10 years ago, actually.
I don't know, I read the play when I was
You know what? We performed that play in 6th grade. I remember it now.
You did, because
yeah.
We read it in 6th grade.
That's incredible. Did you go to Nassaukee Elementary School by chance?
I went, in 6th grade, I went to Mount.
Well,
and what year did you
district.
Graduate from Ward Melville? I heard you babbling last week.
I wasn't babbling. Was I babbling? Well, I was on the phone babbling, though.
I was falling asleep. You were on the phone babbling to Matt, because I was talking to Matt, and I was
right.
Trying to get through to say something, because he gave some misinformation that I wanted to correct.
Oh, okay. Well, did you ever correct it?
No, I fell asleep.
Okay, well, I'll give you a chance to correct it. But, see, I graduated from Ward Melville in 77.
77?
Yeah. Well, wasn't that long ago, was it?
In 77, I was 2 years old.
Well, okay, you know, I don't hold that against you.
Okay. No.
Wow.
So I should go back and look at the old yearbook, huh?
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Yank it off the shelf on Monday.
Well, I caused quite a bit of trouble.
You did, huh?
In my time. Oh, yes.
Were you in Dr. McCrell's office all the time?
That was the principal for
him.
Yeah,
then he was.
He
left the year before I started.
He wouldn't have me in his office. Let's put it that way.
You were that bad?
He would not allow me in that wing of the building.
So I assume you heard that they tried to blow up the school.
Well, if I had to go to the guidance office, which is across the street from,
across the
hall from the office, I had to go in through the window. Otherwise, I would, you know, I'd be violating that rule that forbid me from being in that part of the building. You see what I mean? It's, you know, I guess they overreacted a bit. They just thought I was a lot more dangerous than, you know, I was espousing all kinds of ideals at that point.
Well, this, you know, the last 2 years they've been trying to burn down the school, so.
Uh-huh.
Well, I still don't know who it is either.
There was a fair amount of that going on when I was there too, but then the teachers got their raise and that stopped.
Well, I don't think it's teachers anymore.
No,
I don't know.
Parents, you think?
No, because they're trying to fire. I think we've had 3 or 4 since the beginning of school.
They
threw a Molotov cocktail into the assistant principal's office last year.
Molotov cocktail?
Yeah, it was during vacation, so nobody was there, though.
Boy, I didn't think people made Molotov cocktails in this part of the world.
How hard is it to do?
Well, it's not that hard, but, you know, it's fairly easy. It's not very stylish, you know? Like,
no, it's simple.
Yeah.
And it's effective if you do it well.
Well, yeah, I suppose, but I just didn't think
in
high
job.
Schools that was a common activity.
I don't think it was. I think it's like they tossed it into the assistant principal's office last year.
I mean, they would make Molotov cocktails here at Stony Brook, and you'd expect them to do things like that. Because
I'm sure they have, though. I mean, just going back far enough.
Well, in the '60s, yes, but that was the '60s.
Is that an excuse?
No, I guess not. But you know, it's worked as an excuse enough times.
Oh.
So you said you had something to set Matt straight on. Why don't you do that?
Oh, no, he was saying that something was going on at Wood Melville. I don't remember what it was.
Uh-huh.
But it couldn't have been at Wood Melville because the way he described it was something about a water tower, and there's no water tower that close to Wood Melville. There are power lines, but no water tower.
No water tower. No, I don't think there's a water tower.
There is no water tower. The power lines are down Old Town Road, though.
Yeah, there's power lines, but how can anybody confuse a power line with a water tower?
A tower. I mean, it's just, yeah.
You don't want to mix the two, that's for sure.
You can't, man.
No, there's a nearest water tower I could think of is probably in Center Reach or something, or Port Jefferson.
I don't know, but whatever it was.
Well, what was it involving a water tower?
Something about security guards and a water tower and smoking pot or something.
Well, that's definitely Ward Melville.
Oh, yeah, well, we know the smoking pot part is Ward Melville.
Yeah.
Okay, but
there was, in fact, I should say this for the benefit of people that might not know this. Back in the early 70s, and I just know this because I got a tour of the place when I was a little kid, Ward Melville was had a principal, I think his name was Cotton. And
yeah.
It was supposedly an era where people were doing drugs in the hallways and just like lying down everywhere. And it was the craziest place you'd ever want to see. A very permissive school. And people just did whatever they wanted. Now, I'm not sure if that's completely true, and if anybody went to Melville during that period, you know, they probably won't have time this week, but maybe next week they should call in and tell us what it was like. But that was an interesting era from what I've heard. Do they still talk about that time?
No, they don't, but there's some interesting versions. They actually changed last year. I think it's a little more like that than it is this year, because this year they're actually figuring out a system where you usually have to show up in class, because now they're doing attendance up period by period, and it goes into the computer, and if you're in the computer that you're in class one period and not the next, something comes up. And
yeah.
But last year, I mean, there were parts of the school where you could walk in and just count the number of baked people and lose track.
Wow, yes, that's a very interesting thing to do there.
It's fun, though.
Some things never change. Any closing remarks before we try to get a couple more calls in?
No, unless... I guess I'll talk to you next week if you actually say something interesting.
Well, I'll try. I always try to say something interesting.
Well, that's why I try and talk to you every week.
Well, that's good. Have you gotten through before?
Lots of times.
You have?
Yeah.
Okay. What's your name?
Erica,
okay.
Yeah, over the summer I talked to Matt a lot.
Okay, well, I wasn't here over the summer, so that's...
Oh, you were in Europe.
I missed
the week that Matt actually read your postcard or whatever it was.
He read my postcard? He
read some letter or something, because I missed it.
Oh, boy.
And I missed, like, the week after that, too.
That postcard was very personal.
I don't know what it said. I don't think he read anything that would have been that personal. I mean,
you don't understand. He has a hateful, spiteful sense of humor. But I won't get into that now.
Well.
All right, well, keep listening, and hopefully we'll see you at the rally tomorrow.
Right?
Yeah, and get a lot of Ward Melville people down there, and get their parents down there, too.
Parents?
you know, those people that you grow up with.
The people that vote? You mean like the people who actually have a say?
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, this is a situation where people are coming from out of the area and saying that the people of the neighborhood feel this way. All I'm saying is let the people of the neighborhood decide how they feel and show up and voice your opinion, whichever way it is. I'm not saying only people from a certain way should show up. I'm saying everybody should.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, tell everybody you know.
Yeah, well.
And if you call them now, you know, you'll wake them up and they'll remember. They might not, you know, appreciate the fact for a few days, but they will remember.
Having the right to voice your opinion is a privilege.
That's right.
Use it while you have the chance.
Sounds like you're reading from something.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
I'm sitting on my bed, and there's nothing to read from on the bed.
Okay, well, it sounds like you're reciting from memory, then.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay.
See you later.
You're well.
Good morning.
Sorry, I can't take that. Dessert, right?
Sorry?
Dessert, right?
Hang on. Yep.
I have something of public concern to tell everybody.
Didn't you call this a little while ago?
Yeah, but I forgot to tell her. It's important.
Now. Okay, go ahead.
I fucked your mother.
All right. Good morning. Anybody there? Good morning.
Hey. What's up?
How you doing?
I gotta say one thing.
Yeah?
It doesn't concern any curses.
Go ahead.
Write out the word democracy, okay? D-E-M-O-C-R-A-C-Y.
That's correct.
And you take the D,
right.
E, and the C, and the A, and the Y. What does it spell?
Wait a minute. I wasn't planning on actually writing it down, but hold on. Now, say that again.
Okay. You know how to spell democracy, right?
Right. I just spelled it out. Now, what do I take out?
The D.
Yeah.
The E.
Yeah.
The C.
Yeah.
The A and the Y. DK.
No, wait. I'm doing something wrong here. Take out the D, the E, the C, the A, and the Y.
And just read those letters that I told you to take out. Or does that spell?
Oh. I was spelling the word, the letters that were left, and I was getting Mork, and I couldn't figure that out. Decay.
Yeah.
Decay, that's very good. Now, what does that mean?
It's what democracy is.
Oh, I see. It's what democracy is. You know, you did it wrong, though. You should say take out the M, the O, the R, and the C, and that's democracy, and that's what, you know, what's left.
Same with Weight Watchers.
What about Weight Watchers?
Oh, well, if you take some letters out, it spells eaters.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. Wow, do you sit around and think about this kind of thing often?
Well, practically when I'm on hold.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, I guess, you know, what you're doing is demonstrating a positive reaction to being on hold for 2 hours.
Sure.
Yeah.
I got one more.
All right.
Dow Jones, down.
that's not one of the better ones.
Well, I got a lot more, but I was wondering, can you put me on a teleconference?
All right, I'll try.
Sure.
I'll try. Hold on. Since we're probably not going to use that line again, I'll just leave them there. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Is anybody can get on to telecom on the conference calls?
Yeah, I suppose. You want to just go there right now?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I feel like I'm being used, but hold on. I think I've found your match.
Hello.
Here we go. All right, let me patch you in. Should have two people here. Are there two people here?
Yeah. Hey, hello?
Okay,
hello.
You're paired together. Good morning.
Hello.
How you doing?
Anyone else is joining us here?
What's that?
You're not going to put anyone else on?
Well, if you want, I'll put you on the teleconference. Is that what you want?
We are.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're ringing back.
Yeah.
My God, you found us. Somehow you came back to us.
I know. With the
We lost you.
Well, now you found us.
You found us. We're the first one.
Well, wait a minute. I still think I can... Nice. I can't...
Me too.
You still there?
Yeah.
You see, you're stuck. I can't do anything with you.
Can't do anything?
No, I'm sorry. And that's a sad note to end the program on, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to because, that's just the way it is. So, everybody keep the faith or whatever. And for those of you that will be around tomorrow, 2 o'clock... in front of the Smith Haven Mall, on the Jericho Turnpike side, bring coat hangers. If you're on the other side, bring a fetus, I guess. We'll all have fun. Hang out in the food court or whatever. Do those kinds of things that counter-demonstrators do. As for me, I'll be back next week, or maybe Matt will be around too. Who knows? for now. Stay tuned for the big guy and continuous beautiful music on WUSB Stony Brook, where we play light music for light-headed people. See ya.
The content of this program may alter.